This is David Mayo, and you're listening to Bobcat Radio on 89.9 KTSW.
Welcome back to Bobcat Radio, the Friday edition. Jason Harris, Russell Ramsey, Morgan Jenkins, as always. Now joined, again, as we said earlier, but play-by-play voice of the Louisiana Lafayette Raging Cajuns, Jay Walker, joining us. Jay, thanks for joining us here on this beautiful Friday here in Texas. I hope it's the same way down in Louisiana.
Well, we had that frontal system come through last night, so no, it's a beautiful day here, and I just heard the weather forecast for tonight. I've got a light jacket, and looking forward to some fall weather, finally.
Yeah, I think a lot of us around here are celebrating the fact that it's below, you know, 95, 100 degrees for the first time, and who knows how long again. Big weekend coming up, not only for the Texas State Bobcats, as the Raging Cajuns come to town for homecoming. Let's start off with the Cajuns, though. Much like Texas State, maybe a little bit less, but they've had a kind of an up-and-down season. To this point in the season so far, has it kind of reflected what the Raging Cajuns thought was going to happen during the season, or has it been a little bit more of a struggle?
It's been more of a struggle, and really, you know, when you get right down to it, the Cajuns are two plays away from being 4-2. They started 2-1, had a three-game homestand to start the season. They went to Tulane. They lost four fumbles or had four turnovers inside their own 25-yard line and lost the game in four overtimes. The next week, they went out to New Mexico State. Elijah McGuire played very sparingly. He got hurt on the last play of the game against Tulane. Went two overtimes, gave up a pick six, and lost in double overtime. Now, that'll take it out of you. And it's kind of taken it out of this team, and Appalachian State took it out on the Cajuns last week, and one of the poorest offensive performances, probably the worst offensive performance of the Mark Hudspeth era. But, you know, they're staggering a little bit right now. They're very, very close to where they wanted to be, which probably was 4-2 going into this game. But the reality is they're 2-4. They're a team that has not played with a lot of confidence, that has not played with its usual swagger. And they're staggering into San Marcos. And, you know, this might be their make or break game for this season. If they can't get out of there with a win, and they haven't won on the road this year, then it could be a very tough sledding the rest of the way, I think.
You mentioned Elijah McGuire. I want to talk about him in just a second, but I want to start off with quarterback Anthony Jennings. You know, following somebody like a Terrence Broadway, who I got to see, you know, over the past couple of years, and of course I know and you have as well, just so fantastic. What's been your impression of Anthony Jennings and how he stepped in to fill in those shoes for the Cajuns?
He's done a lot of things well. I think he does a good job going through progressions, and I think he's done a good job in a leadership role. But Anthony hasn't gotten a whole lot of protection up front, and I think lately, because of that, he's gotten a little happy feet, and he's gotten he's thrown off balance too much, and he's gotten picked a few times. And I think that goes back into that confidence factor. Appalachian State, and Tulane especially got after him pretty good, and, he's okay. But again, he's got to have a night where he's got to have a little bit of success in order to get his confidence back. Because I'm not sure he lacks confidence in himself. It's just a question of he hasn't gotten very good protection so far this year.
Hey, Jay, Russell Ramsey here. I was checking out the Raging Cajuns roster online, and Adrian Goodacre came across my reading here, offensive lineman, sophomore out of Carthage, Texas. And I was, according to your website, he chose the Raging Cajuns over two pretty good in-state offers from Houston and Stephen F. Austin. I was wondering, is there culture from this team that might have drew him down to Lafayette?
You know what? I don't know. It might have been more of maybe an opportunity to play early, and I think that's how you get a lot of out-of-state kids to come to Louisiana. It's the fact that they might have a chance to play early in their careers. Adrian saw a little bit of action last year in a reserve role, and he's seeing a little bit of action this year in a reserve role. You know, let's face it, the culture is something that we do sell here, but I can't say that was a determining factor on him deciding to come.
One of the players we have gotten to see over the course of the years, we mentioned him earlier, Elijah McGuire, and just talk a special talent, no doubt. We were saying earlier on the show, we're going to see this kid playing on Sundays. There's no doubt about it. From your perspective, getting to call the games and watch him grow as a player, what have you seen from the time he arrived on campus to now and being one of, if not the best running back in the Sun Belt Conference?
first of all, he's a quality kid. That is the first and foremost thing. You know, I actually got to know him a little bit last year because he played on the basketball team as well. And, you know, you travel in a smaller group and you get to know those players a little bit better. And Eli's just such a quality person to start with, and a quiet leader, always got a smile on his face, hardest worker on the team. Anybody will tell you that. The thing that he's been able to do that I don't think we've had in the past here, you know, we've had some pretty good running backs here. You know, Tyrell Fenroy is the all-time leading rusher in the Sun Belt Conference with over 4,600 yards in his career. But the thing that Eli does that Tyrell couldn't do, nobody else that we've had, is if he gets in the open space, he's going to run away from you. You know, there are a lot of good backs that in our league, but at some point in time, you might be able to catch him from behind with a good, fast defensive back. If Eli gets clear, you're not going to catch him. He runs away from you.
What's your opinion and the Raging Cajun's opinion on Tyler Jones again? He's been here for 4 years now. We've seen the ups, we've seen the downs, and I really think he's coming to his own these last couple of years. Struggling a little bit, I think he's facing a lot of the same problems that your quarterback Anthony Jennings is with just that protection breakdown. But again, you've got to see Jones over the course of the years. Your thoughts on him and his growth.
First of all, his beard has got to be gray by now. You know, the guy's been the starter there for 16 years, and I liked him when he was a freshman. I've always liked Tyler Jones. I think that he's a very capable kid. I think he's a smart quarterback, and I like cerebral quarterbacks, and I think he's a smart one. He's got some escapability. He's got the ability to hurt you with his legs, and he's always had the ability to hurt you with his arm, and he is, I think, having his best season. And I think you're right. I said if it's not for protection issues, this guy's probably putting up some scary numbers. I was a little curious prior to the season because, you know, he had a pretty much an all-new receiving core. But his receivers have responded. They've done a good job. And he's been ready to spread the wealth. He hasn't really had, okay, this is the guy I'm always looking for. He doesn't care. He'll check down. He'll find a secondary guy. And his receivers have done a good job as well. But, no, I've always been a fan. Even though the three games that we've played against Texas State really haven't been all that close, I haven't blamed the quarterback for it. I think he's a pretty good hand.
Hey, Jay, I was wondering about Keenan Barnes. Since 17 receptions, 167 yards, and 4 touchdowns this year. What about him makes him such a scoring threat?
He's got very good hands. As a matter of fact, I think all of the Cajun receivers do. He's very athletic. He's got the ability to go up and get the football, and then not only go up and get it, but then come down, with it. And he's, you know, all of these receivers are pretty good sized, you know, that the Cajuns have. And I think he's been able to use his size to his advantage at times. I like the Cajuns receiving corps. They're very, very young. Jamarcus Bradley's not going to play this week. He got hurt in the game against App State last week with a high ankle sprain, so we won't see him. But Barnes has done a very nice job. Of course, Al Riles in the slot, and then you know, you've got a couple of guys on the other side with Bradley out that I think are capable guys who could maybe give the Cajuns a little lift. But Barnes, he's just got a nose for the football, and he seems to be the guy down in the red zone that they look for a lot.
All right. I'm sure you get asked a lot of times, what do the Raging Cajuns need to do to win this ball game? I want to flip it a little bit. What do our Bobcats need to do to be able to take down the Raging Cajuns?
First thing they got to do is they got to slow down McGuire. You know, Eli has not been 100%. He only had 6 carries in the game against New Mexico State. He only had 10 last week. He's pretty close to 100% now. And the first thing Texas State will have to do is they're going to have to slow him down and make the quarterback beat him. Because if Eli gets things going, it's going to open up a whole lot of things in the passing game, and I think it could be a long night. So the first key is you got to do something with McGuire and slow down the Cajun running game a little bit. And I think on the other side of the football, two things. I think you got to have a little success running, which isn't an easy thing to do against the Cajuns. They've been very good in run defense this year. And the other thing is, is I think the quarterback has got to be a multi-threat. I think if the Cajuns make him just a passer, to put him in down and distance situations where they can go ahead and bring people and make him uncomfortable in passing situations, then I think that Texas State's chances go down. I think he's got to be able to do all of the things that he does well. He's got to be able to have some success with the zone read and the delays. He's got to be able to show some escapability. And he's got to be able to do all of the things that makes him such a good quarterback. If the Cajuns take some of that away from him, then they might be in a little trouble.
Again, Jay Walker, play-by-play voice of the Raging Cajuns. They're headed to town this weekend to take on the Texas State Bobcats. Jay, before we let you go, where can they find you at on Twitter or Facebook or hear you at on the radio?
Well, Facebook, I've got a professional page, Jay Walker-Town Square Media. On Twitter, it's at JESPN1420. And on our website at ESPN1420.com, as a matter of fact, I've got I do a blog every Friday before a game, and it's called Five Keys to Beating Fill in the Blank. And, of course, this week the blank is Texas State, and I've got the five things there that the Cajuns need to do in order to win. And anybody that wants to check it out, that's at ESPN1420.com.
I bet you that's going to be a good read. Again, Jay Walker joining us here on Bobcat Radio, play-by-play voice of Raging Cajuns. Safe travels, and we look forward to the game this weekend.
I'm looking forward to it, too. Also looking forward to dinner at the Gristmill and Green, my favorite restaurant in the Sun Belt Conference.
This man knows good food right here. Again, Jay Walker, play-by-play voice for the Raging Cajuns. Thank you again for joining us on Bobcat Radio.
Thank you for having me. Have a good day.